Hello, beautiful women, and welcome to the Claimed Podcast. I'm Anna Rova, your host, and let me tell you a little bit about myself if you're new to the podcast. I'm a femininity and feminine embodiment coach, and I run a very powerful program for single successful women who want to attract and keep committed masculine men, or women who are already in relationships but want to change that feminine masculine polarity in their relationship. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Claimed Podcast and welcome to my Instagram channel as well. For those of you who are listening to me on the podcast and are new, and for those of you who are watching and are new to my work and to me, I'm Anna Rova. I help single, successful women or women who are in relationships where polarity isn't working and who want to attract committed masculine men. We have a powerful program that helps them do exactly that. So welcome, everyone. Today, what I want to do is talk about something really, really important. I got a message, so, you know, I encourage all of you to send me DMs if you have any questions about men, and, you know, think of me as your trusted advisor when it comes to men and relationships, especially if you want a relationship that's based in feminine masculine polarity and you're struggling with attracting emotionally unavailable men or, you know, anything like that. So, okay, just give me a second because I'm just going to check my recording real quick and then we'll begin. Okay, so I got a message from a woman. Let's call her Jane because it's quite a vulnerable message, and I understand why this woman wanted to remain anonymous. And I feel like this exact question or these exact thoughts are on the minds of so many women today. And basically, what this is all about, how I can summarize this, and I'll read to you what she wrote to me. How I can summarize her question is basically, how can I be a feminist and also surrender and also be in polarity with a masculine man? Is being a man better than being a woman? And is, you know, do men have it better than women? Because it might seem so. So let me start by reading to you her question, and I want you to listen to her whole question because it's kind of like, I don't want to say it's all over the place, but there's, you can hear certain themes here and there where she talks about all of this. And so I'll be reading it. I don't even know how to go about this. Should I read the whole thing? Okay, I'll read the whole thing and then I'll comment on parts of it. And really, I hope this episode and this message, you really get it, especially if you're a woman struggling with this. It's really an internal conflict that so many women are struggling with. And I hope that with this episode or with this message or with this video, you're going to clarify this for yourself, and hopefully it's going to help you move forward. So here's what she says or asks. Will men always know me better than I will ever know them and therefore have control? Because I am the one opening to them by sexually and emotionally being penetrated? Question mark. Being dominant seems inherently better than being submissive. Is sex/life in general better for men than women? What jumps do men have to get over in entering their masculine? For femininity, it feels like I'm jumping into being open, exposed, vulnerable. How do I overcome my ego safety guards? I feel like it's almost unfair that they get to enter me, both physically and emotionally. It makes me feel like Swiss cheese, LOL, like I'm not whole. And once I open up, it will make me reliant on them. I feel almost jealous that they get to lead and I have to submit. But I also kind of like the idea when I'm in the moment. It only starts to bother me when I think about it a lot, like right now. How do I tackle my inner battle with wanting to be respected, untouchable, yet also this yearning to fall into it? Seemingly, men get to have security and ownership, and women have to be open, insecure, question mark, owned, and rely on men if they enter their femininity. I'm battling with this fear that it seems inherently unfair to be a woman. pay attention to these very, very powerful statements, right? In some ways, it seems like men leave sex feeling satisfied and whole, whereas I will leave it feeling open, vulnerable, overthinking if he still values me. Do men have insecurities like this? Great questions, right? Great, like a great thought process there. Femininity in its essence is submissive? Is this synonymous with weakness? That seems unfair. Like, for example, as a woman, my nature is to want to be taken. Is that sold to us by the patriarchy? LOL. And for men, they want to and get to lead, and women want that? I feel like it's way better to be a man. Everything I'm gathering is that men get to do whatever they want and women are along for the ride. How can I feel more beautiful and happy about being a woman? Finally, how can I enjoy rough and submissive sex the way I want to without energetically cutting myself off from the kind of submissiveness I want to take on out of fear that I'm being taken advantage of and that women have come so far? How can I enjoy this? Are the things I find sexy just because of influence from misogynistic culture? I just feel like I can't fully enjoy the things I like because I'm such a feminist. I want to give messy blowjobs and go on beautiful, romantic and classy dates. And I don't want to feel so bad about it. Sorry if inappropriate. And then she added, it seems like the kind of relationship I want is dripping in misogyny. How do I enter my feminine essence, find a masculine man and feel better about the whole thing? As a feminist, I feel like I can't enjoy taking on roles of a typically submissive woman. I feel like shame around it. I feel shame around it, and I like to have to attack that because it feels unfair in a way. However, if I made it mean something else and didn't care about what society's rules say about my relationship, I could actually enjoy it. I know I could. So how do I reframe it and enjoy it for what it is? A divine connection that makes me so happy. There's a huge part of me that can't enjoy it because it's unfair. Hope this makes sense. Thanks. All right, Jane and everybody else. I know there's a lot of women who actually struggle with this, and that's why I wanted to record this message, right? So where shall we begin? Well, let's begin with a fundamental truth about, let's begin with this conflict, right? So with a conflict of like, how can I be a feminist? Which basically means like, how can I take advantage of all of the opportunities that I have right today? And nobody can argue with the fact that women today live in the most open, most advantageous time, and it's the best time to be a woman ever, right? So how can I be a feminist and enjoy everything that I have as a woman, but still be in a relationship with a man where there is polarity? So what's happening with this woman? She's kind of battling these two things within her. That can I be? Well, if I want to. So first of all, I want to point out in the language that I use in my work and in my writing, I never use the word dominant submissive. I use the word in terms of polarity, feminine, masculine. Now, this woman has, I think, automatically taken feminine masculine polarity and translated it into dominant submissive, which is also a belief that she has, and that leads her to the thought process of dominant is good, submissive is bad. For that reason, I do not use dominant submissive, right? Because I think dominant submissive, and definitely dominant we can describe as masculine, and submissive we could describe as feminine. But personally, I only use those descriptions when it comes to the bedroom. So, and even then in the bedroom, you know, dominant and submissive are very, very strong words. So my first advice for Jane, or if you're a woman like this who's struggling with this, I'd be struggling with it too, right? Is not to use dominant submissive as labels, because dominant submissive, literally like BDSM in sex, that's what we're talking about, yeah? Dominant submissive has very strong connotation because it literally means, I think, polarity taken to an extreme. It is polarity because, you know, obviously the dominant one takes, the submissive one submits, but I think that we can't, I personally, in my work, and maybe this is someone, I know there's, you know, there are femininity coaches who actually talk about and propagate and encourage women to be submissive. It personally doesn't relate to me. I don't teach women that. I don't coach women that. I don't look at myself as a submissive woman. I wouldn't describe myself in this way. Yes, I am that in the bedroom a lot, right? Because I want to be taken, and there's that animalistic, like, desire in me to be taken, to be, you know, slept, and even, like, I don't know, bondaged, or, you know, like tied with a rope or whatever. But this is all, like, in the context of the bedroom and play. So, number one, Jane, how can you, I'm going to write this down, dominant submissive, so I can put it in my notes. How can you distance yourself or reevaluate your description of feminine masculine means dominant submissive? And that leads us to the idea, or to the next question, is feminine submissive, and is feminine a weakness? Right? Because she asks, being dominant seems inherently better than being submissive. Yeah. So, and then all of these things that she says, it's unfair that they get to enter me. It's unfair, you know, it's unfair that they get to live a better life. So let's talk about, sorry, I have a bit of a cold sore or sore throat. Let's talk about this idea that the feminine is submissive and therefore weak. And therefore, you know, women has got it way worse than men. So this leads me to point number two. This is a belief system, Jane, that you have, and a lot of women have, and I have been that woman as well. This is a belief system that we as women have been told, have been carried through generations, and are still being told today. You know, that's why I am not engaging in the talk, and I'm not supporting the talk. The patriarchy wants to keep women in the kitchens, which means, like, men want to keep women in the kitchens, want to have them as housewives. Being a man is much better than a woman, and so on and so forth and so forth. Femininity is weakness. You can't be soft. You can't be vulnerable, and so on and so forth. You have to be independent. You have to stand on your own feet. You don't need a man, and so on and so forth, right? So that is a fundamental belief system that is hurting women instead of helping women, because femininity is not weakness. And I've written a lot about this, right? And femininity also is not submission. How I look at the feminine masculine, here's what's happening with a woman like Jane. The inner conflict that she's feeling is between what society is telling her, that femininity is weakness. You are not allowed to want a man to take care of you. You're not allowed to want to surrender. You are not allowed to, you know, want to let a man lead. But deep down inside, you want that. So there is this constant conflict between what I want. That's why in the end, she mentioned, if it wasn't for society rules, then I would totally go for it. Yeah. So, and this is a conflict that so many women really struggle with today. And that's why in the work that I'm doing, because I'm working with successful women, right? Women who have used their independence and strength and ambition and a lot of their masculine energy, like I am myself, to succeed in the world. But we also notice that once we succeed in the world and jump high, really, really high, for some reason, it affects our relationships with men. And all the men that we're attracting are either emotionally unavailable or feminine men that we do not attract, that we do not respect, that we don't find attractive, and so on and so forth. And so when we do discovery calls with women every day to see if they're a good fit for our program and if we can help them, deep down inside, women tell us, you know, when they drop into their bodies, when they drop into the truth, they say, I want to feel safe with a man. I want to be taken care of. I want to surrender, and I want to let go of control. And this is something that they can't say out loud. And this is not something, because I know Jane mentioned, you know, is this like the patriarchy telling me or whatever, you know? No, it's not, because it's deep down inside. And I, you know, I've talked to thousands of women by now, and I'm a woman myself. And so I'm not saying that all women are like this, but many, many, if not most women, deep down inside, they want to be taken care of. They want to surrender, and they want to let go of control, and they want to let the men lead. We as women most women are attracted to a man who takes charge and who leads, who is not, I don't want to say dominant, because again, we're not using words dominant or submissive because they have a very negative connotation. But we like a man who takes charge, who takes you by the hand and says, Jane, be ready at 7 because I'll come pick you up. So, and that is not something I came up with. That is not something that the patriarchy came up with or some like esoteric concepts. I've actually looked into this and I like, why is that, right? I've looked into the root causes of it, and the root causes of it are in biology and evolutionary psychology, if you really look at this. And if you go into like exploring the intellectual dark web, you know, people like Jordan B. Peterson, and which I'm a big fan of, Camille Paglia, and a lot of the women that I've interviewed on my podcast, not enough, but these are the people and the voices that are not mainstream, that are not supported by, feminist ideological modern agendas. And that's why it's not very, very popular. But in reality, when you look at things and when you start digging deeper, you find the reasons to why so many women, if not most women, crave to be taken and surrendered and are attracted to, you know, masculine men. You find the reasons there and you understand your nature, and you also give yourself permission to want what you want, right? Like when I work with women and I had to go on this journey myself to give myself permission to say, that's what I want. I want to be taken care of. I want to be, you know, I want to surrender. Surrender is a much better word than submit. Submitting is almost like is weakness in a way. Surrender is a very different story. So when I talk about this polarity, so first we discussed, if you're looking to discover more about evolutionary psychology and biology, do your research there. If you want to work, so I'll answer Jane's question then. How can I do this? Well, Jane, the short answer is you got to work with us so we can help you to frame all these beliefs, because that's exactly what we do, what I do in my work with women. And these beliefs need to be excavated, reframed, so you can start attracting different types of men. So Jane is already on this journey. I can see it, because the first thing that comes up, so there's a lot of women right there who, and if you're listening to this, probably not that woman, there's a lot of women over here who are very, very successful, you know, in their masculine energy, you know, whatever. Maybe they are even in successful relationships with men. Most of them probably are with feminine men, unless they really know polarity and how to work with that. And then there's women like Jane who have been there, who don't want that anymore, like, right, who have an intuitive sense that being in masculine energy and this overdrive and riding this, you know, feminist agenda that's really popular today is inherently contradicting to what she wants and what she needs. So she steps on this journey of, oh, is there another way? Because deep down inside, I know what I'm attracted to and I know what I want, but what I have right now isn't working. So then she finds me and is like, okay, how do I solve this? The short answer is we'll work on this together. And I'll talk about this a bit more. So coming back to, you know, this feminine masculine polarity, if you haven't watched my webinar on how to attract men and masculine men, go to girlskill.com/webinar. And in that webinar, I really explain feminine masculine polarity. I explain that in very simple terms, right? The masculine is all about direction, achievement, push, 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 go, 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 live on the edge. You know, it's nothingness. It's like the mountain. The feminine on the opposite side is, you know, all about feeling, all about chaos, all about surrender, letting go of control, being taken, and being here and now, being in play, in the freedom of movement, right? And when we look at this polarity, that's why the opposites attract, right? It's like the South and North Pole. That's why, you know, women are attracted to men who have direction, who have purpose, who can stand there and take it all, right? Obviously, most of you know that I'm a big fan of David Deida's work. A lot of my polarity work and principles are based on his books and on his work. So look into that. And that's why the masculine is very much attracted to a woman who doesn't need to control, who's just there now. You know, like men love to be with a woman on a date who's not thinking into the future, who's not thinking, where is this going? When is our next date? Is he into me? Like, you know, all in your head. that's why when I work with women, I work a lot with feminine embodiment, which means like when a woman is out of her head and in her body, she knows she doesn't need to control. She knows who she is. She knows her own boundaries. And she's not in this. So I see in Jane's answer, sorry, in Jane's question, there's a lot of, I wouldn't say boundary issues, but she's on the journey of strengthening her own self as a woman, her own sense of self, her self-awareness, her, you know, being enough as a woman in her own being, and also, you know, setting her boundaries right. So in that way, just to finish the thought on feminine masculine polarity, these forces, right? Because they're forces. All of us have it. Women and men have masculine and feminine polarity. Just most women are fulfilled by living from their feminine, especially in relationships. And most women are much more fulfilled and happy when they're living from the masculine. It's a choice that we make when we enter relationships. Of course, both of us, women and men, when we enter the relationship, we enter, my view, that's why it's not submissive or dominant. We enter as equal partners. We enter first and foremost into a relationship as whole beings, right? And so, you know, you're not my other half. You're a whole person, and we're choosing to enter a relationship as equal partners. And then we choose to play these feminine masculine roles in the relationship and in the bedroom. And that's what really sustains the attraction and moving forward. So both of us are happy. So in that sense, feminine masculine are both in power in equal terms. So that is one of the fundamental things, Jane, that for you, I would recommend working with. Because you view right now, and that's in your belief system, that femininity is weak, right? That men have got it better than women. So next point, let's talk about the patriarchy, right? So, okay, actually, let's not talk about the patriarchy, but let's talk about the consequences of the feminist agenda that is currently popular today. Hi, girlfriends. Sorry to interrupt your listening to the episode, but I quickly wanted to jump in and let you know that I have prepared something exciting for you. If you're interested in polarity, femininity, and how to embrace your feminine and how to attract primarily masculine men in your life, this announcement is going to be very useful for you, because I'm talking about my signature training. I'm like, how do I describe this experience? Because it's really an experience, you know. This is a signature training, my 1-hour webinar that I've put together. And it honestly, it's been through a few iterations in the last 2 years, but I feel like this is the best yet training of mine that didn't come from, you know, reading 2 books and 3 courses and like coming together in a copy paste thing that I now advise women to do. No, this has come from me, my own lived experience through my dating life and through finding and attracting the masculine man of my dreams and then marrying him and creating a family. This also came, yes, indeed, from a lot of research and learning and courses and coaches and oh my God, you name it. You know, it's been a journey of 5 years for me about that time. And also this has come from my clients. So the previous training, how is this different if you've signed up for another training of mine, which was the Live Female Success, by the way? This is different because this is now coming through a distillation of my work one-on-one with women who I've helped get to that place where they're just attracting better men, and they start attracting better masculine men and are on their way to actually to a relationship eventually. Not only masculine, but also masculine committed men. So if you are in a situation where you're attracting men that are less than desirable, let's say they're feminine men who don't want to lead, don't want to take charge, and men who are unavailable, then this training is for you. I will have to call this training How to Start Attracting Your Masculine Committed Men, basically in 30 days or less. And in this training, I will share with you some of the key things that I've learned throughout this journey that are helping. That's what my work with women is based on. So in this 60-minute training, you'll find the number one reason why you're still single and can't attract a committed masculine man It's not what you think. How to break through the patterns of attracting unavailable or feminine men, as I said, and find your blind spot so you can attract the men you want. How to master the feminine masculine polarity so you start feeling taken care of, claimed, and finally be able to let go of control and uncover the lie of female success that's keeping you stuck, exhausted, and unfulfilled, which means in masculine energy all the time, so you can start living in freedom and joy and much, much more. So if you're interested, go to girlskill.com/webinar, sign up, and I can't wait for you to see this training and to let me know how it went. And by the way, there are no replays for this, so make sure you select the time that you can show up and be fully present. All right, I'm going to jump off and you continue listening to this episode. All right, so let's talk about the big word, P. I'm just going to say it once, patriarchy, because for all the listeners on the podcast, I was recording this 22 minutes and then Instagram has shut down my live video, I think for the reasons of political correctness or whatever. So just to continue, this agenda that men have got it all better and women have always had it, women have always had it worse, is a belief system that is propagated to us today, to all women today, for different ideological purposes and agendas. Most of the feminism today, unfortunately, and I talk about this in the program and we work through this, if you really go down into the research of feminism, the original feminist ideas were inherently very, very good, because they all, you know, like Susan B. Anthony and all of these women, inherently what they propagated is equal rights for everyone, men and women, right? And it all started with having equal rights to vote and so on and so forth, and opportunities. And a lot of that, what we have today, I mean, obviously all of it, all the opportunities that women have today is due to the fact, to that movement. However, as we went through different feminist waves, the ball has swung to the other side where, you know, we went from, a period in the 50s where, you know, women were seen as housewives and this is your happiness, right? We also should mention that it's a phenomenon after the Second World War and baby boomers and things like that, which is really interesting because American culture influences the whole world like that. And this is where Western feminism really took roots there. So we went from, you know, a woman's purpose and her whole happiness is to stay in the kitchen, raise children, to, you know, women waking up and saying, well, hold on a second, there's much more to me than being a mother and being a housewife. And so through different feminist movements, and now we can say we're in the fourth movement or neo-feminist, whatever you want to call it, the pendulum has swung towards the other side, completely to the other side, to the other extreme, where it's like, well, a woman's purpose is to build her career or her business, be completely dependent, ever depend on a man, and so on and so forth. And so, you know, being a mother and a housewife, if one chooses to do so, it's kind of even looked down upon. You know, what do you mean you want to stay home with your children? So a lot of, it's a totally swing on the other side. And I feel like, you know, in Jane's question, that's the most important thing, where she feels that contradiction. I can tell you, being a mother, a second one now coming on the way, and especially this, all of these ideas crystallized and became so, so clear in my being when I became a mother, when I became pregnant. And that's why I was talking about before on my previous Instagram video that has been canceled or ended, that the roots of these internal conflict or why women want to be taken care of, surrender and let go of control is because it's in biology and it's in psychology. So I'm currently, I haven't even announced it on Instagram or whatever, because this time around I'm like, why do I have to announce anything? I don't even know if I want to do an episode about this, because like, whatever, I'm just pregnant, you know? So I'm currently like 16 weeks pregnant, but who cares? I mean, a lot of people are probably going to be happy for me, but it's really weird. My second pregnancy, I'm like, yeah, who cares? Whatever. Maybe I'll do a post in a couple of months. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But anyways, when a woman feels pregnant, she falls pregnant. And I've heard this from so many women, you know, they feel like, oh my God, like throw out your feminism slogans because the body takes over. We're animals and it's biology. And the last thing I want to do when I'm vomiting every day, you know, from nausea and sickness is go to work and prove something to someone or achieve or whatever. So, and the other thing there is, of course, parental investment. Anyways, I won't go into that. Maybe I'll do another episode, but just to let you know that we are, as women and as men, we're influenced by thousands and thousands of years of evolution and biology, and we can't change that. And until women are the ones to fall pregnant and give birth, nothing's going to change. So we better understand this first of all, and then feel into it and accept that, and then actually create a relationship with this and see the beauty in the fact that I am a woman. And I would never want to be a man, because at one point in time, I wanted to be a man. I actually felt like I have a penis. How many women go through life through, you know, obviously menstrual cycles, problems with menstrual cycles, having to go to work, you know, why am I doing this? In my webinar, I talk about, if you watched it again, girlskill.com/webinar, I talk about the rejection of femininity. So a woman who's not connected to her body, to her cycles, and is in denial of femininity and deep down inside feels that femininity is weak and that being a man is better. Imagine what kind of a life she's living and what kind of signals and mixed messages she's giving to her body. So it's a very, I don't want to say serious issue, but it's a big, big thing that I would recommend Jane and every single woman out there to look at. So let's talk about men living a better life than women. That's also a myth, and it's a lie. And it's a lie actually not propagated by men, but propagated by women who do not understand the masculine journey, who have not even spent the time or the resources or became curious about what do men go through, right? So I'm a big proponent of looking at both sides. We can't look at women's issues without looking at men's issues, right? So in my program, when I work with women, we always look at that. And women who propagate, you know, men need to shut up and let the women speak, I don't agree with that. That's wrong, because we can't build a world, you know, just by what women think, because, oh, men have been in the patriarchy. Well, I'm sorry, but even their biological evolutionary reasons for men leading and dominating, and again, it's not dominating, sorry, I shouldn't use that word, but being at the top, let's say, and that is viewed, all right, my Instagram video has been ended again. So I guess when I talk about these heated subjects, my Instagram ends. Very interesting. So as you can see, podcast listeners, so what I was doing, I was basically recording a live video on Instagram, and there were not a lot of listeners, I think, just watchers, like zero, and Instagram shut me down. So I think it's considered a sensitive issue. So I guess that's why, alert podcast listeners, be careful to what you see or watch on Instagram, because it's censored. Same thing goes for Facebook. I was listening to a Joe Rogan interview with this guy. Can't remember this guy, but he was talking about same, you know, similar issues. And then as I wanted to share this on my Facebook page with the people who choose to follow me, it blocked the link. And I was like, what the fuck is this? Where's free speech? And there's no free speech if you're on these platforms who regulate, who are politically correct, and so on and so forth. So for those of you especially who have a message or who have a business and are in sensitive subjects, and for those of you who are just listening, know that, and, you know, if you haven't watched, what's the movie, The Social Dilemma on Netflix, I recommend you watch that, because we're going into a territory where, look at this, I'm talking about something that, you know, I believe in, and obviously is controversial, might be considered, but not so much, I guess, is censored. And here I am being censored with algorithms, right? I'll see if I can actually, I wonder if I record a video just on my phone and post it if Instagram would still take it down. But anyway, so dear listeners, we have a podcast platform which nobody's censoring. And so I'm so happy for that, right? And I always believed in independent platforms where my voice is my voice and I can sit here with my computer and I can record it for you so you can listen to the truth and not to what, you know, some, again, feminist agendas, political, you know, all of the popular media and so on and so forth, sitting there and deciding what I should say, what I should not say. So this is very upsetting, but here we are. And of course, if you, you know, if you sign up, the best way is obviously to sign up to my email list and to listen to this podcast, because that's how you know how to get in touch with me. Because otherwise, I mean, I don't know, you might message me on Instagram, they might block me and you might not even find me. Somebody recently told me that, like, you can't even, sexual education and self-pleasure and sexuality, you can't even find those people on Instagram, which is crazy. Okay, anyway, so just to continue, sorry for this. Yeah, so where was I? I completely forgot. Jane, please forgive me. Your questions have caused me a deal of trouble with on these platforms. So yeah, so what I'm saying, let's talk about this idea that men have got it better than women. So as you might now know, if you're a podcast listener and are not new, but if you're new, you should absolutely listen to that. I've interviewed a lot of men who do men's work, who are authors of books, and I've interviewed a lot of women who are actually, you know, have done the research and are part of this intellectual dark web. And by the way, it's intellectual dark web because all these big platforms are shutting down people who are saying something that might be controversial and upset someone. So a lot of the research out there actually does not confirm the belief that men have got it better than women. Some of the things I recommend, you go through my podcast, and for example, I've interviewed Warren Farrell, who is the author of The Boy Crisis, where he talks about a lot of these things. Another resource that I recommend to you, the movie Red Pill. The movie Red Pill is quite controversial, so I'm only recommend, and I recommend it to all of my clients as well, not because I fully stand behind the ideas there, but because it totally opens up your mind as to what men go through and what's actually going on in the background, in the scenes that is not promoted, obviously, by feminist agendas today. So some of the facts there are, let's talk about men have got it better than women. Men, in fact, through research, and that's a fact, they die younger than women. Men have a lot more psychological problems like depression and so on and so forth. Men's suicide rates are a lot higher than women's suicide rates. Men are drafted to war and work mostly, or like if you look at, you know, most dangerous positions, most risky jobs out there are done by men. And we were talking about, you know, working coal mines, working construction, working in a lot of, you know, extreme conditions. And therefore, these extreme conditions and risky conditions are paid better. So, and that ties into the pay gap. Anyways, I don't want to make this episode about the pay gap, but just know that even that notion that the president, you know, Obama repeated, you know, on every dollar that a man makes, a woman makes 70 cents, there's actually an explanation to all of that, which is a matter of preference, which is a matter of men choosing to work longer hours, taking risky jobs, and so on and so forth. So, you know, men are, if you look at statistically, men are imprisoned, I don't know the statistics there, but 70 to 80% victims of crimes. And if you watch the Red Pill, which was really interesting, the court will almost always rule in favor of the mother, because, like, let's say if there's a domestic dispute or whatever, men cannot report that they're victims of domestic violence. And in that specific movie, you can see that it's almost like 90 or 95% of all domestic violence centers are just for women. And yes, the majority of victims are women, but some of the victims are men. And for men, it's like you're a pussy if you report domestic violence. So when we look at toxic masculinity, so to say, you know, when men use their power, use their strength, use their muscles for to gain dominance and control and all of that, which is a win-lose situation, which is exactly the case of toxic masculinity. On the other side is toxic femininity. And people don't talk about this at all, right? So that's what I said. When we talk about, and this woman said, Jane asked, is life better for men than for women? And is sex better for men than for women? So let me just finish off my thought about, is life better for men than for women? No. You know why? Because what do we consider better right now, right? What we see is better. It's, you know, who makes the most amount of money, who is at the top, who makes the most success. If we look statistically, yes, most men hold the most powerful positions because we look at this as, men are living a better life, but are they? You know, it really depends on what is your criteria for measuring that success. What is the criteria? And the criteria seems in our society today is hyper-masculine criteria of who makes the most amount of money and who holds power, which means, you know, powerful positions at top or the top and so on and so forth. And so I do not consider that a criteria for success. And that has actually, that's why women have been so, so unhappy. And I've read somewhere, can't remember who that was, but it said a quote that a society's success will be measured by how motherhood or opportunities for mothers or how mothers are revered and respected in the society. Because think about it, it's women who get pregnant, it's women who give birth, and it's women who mostly stay at home with the children in the first 6 to 12 months. Not because women have to, but most mothers, and I'm saying most, not everyone, you know, most mother will choose to stay at home. And you can't deny that mother-infant connection and the bond and the breastfeeding and so on and so forth. And there's no way the father will play the same exact role as the mother will play. And so, you know, obviously this subject of childbirth and, you know, and nursing your baby and becoming a mother and having a career is a very complicated subject. And, you know, we should be very, very grateful for, you know, forces out there or conditions and women who fought for rights for women, you know, to go back to work and pursue their career and success and so on and so forth. But it has to come not to the detriment of the woman or of the mother. And there's this constant, you know, even my sister and a lot of the women that I speak to, and I had a few episodes on my podcast, what women are struggling today the most is actually not do men have it better than women, but and or femininity is weakness, but how do I take advantage of all the opportunities that are out there for me and still hold a role of a mother and still am there for my children, right? So that is the kind of the dichotomy that the modern woman is really struggling with, because right now, you know, a lot of women are past those beliefs, right? And it's really about how do I go forward in a powerful way where I still honor my desire to be a mother. Once you have children, and those of you who are mothers, you probably feel that conflict every day, right? When your child is sick, you have to stay with him or her at home and you can't. And you have to go to work and do that meeting, right? So the answer is no. Men do not have it better than women in life because, you know, men have to play that protector-provider role. If you really look at the pay gap, it's men fathers who make them more money than women mothers. Again, because inherently and in their nature, men are designed to protect and provide through thousands and thousands of years. And I believe thousands and thousands of years ago, again, it all goes back to all the roles leads to evolutionary psychology and biology, right? And that's why we are attracted to men who have the resources, who take charge, because we know these kinds of men will protect us and he will go out there and make the money when I'm pregnant, can't work, and when I have to breastfeed. And even if you don't have children, that's still programmed in your mind. So when we think about men, think about all the long hours that they have to work, all the risky jobs that they have to take, and all the responsibility that's on their shoulders. And then when we talk about women, you know, and I had to work with my belief system a lot around this, and I've come to the conclusion that, and I know that women, I mean, if you don't feel that as a woman, you definitely need to work on this, because, you know, I wanted to get, I never was the woman who really wanted children, you know, but it came with me being with a man who I wanted to have children, wanted to have a family with. And so when my body took over and I got pregnant, and I'm pregnant now again, I was just in awe of what my body can do, is doing, even childbirth. I know, again, just to talk about the childbirth, you know, I was talking to a woman, she was like, okay, well, as a woman, I need to push a baby out of my vagina, and like, men don't have to go through that. What kind of a belief system is that? Again, when I started researching birth specifically, birth today is all covered in fear. And all we know about birth, or all we see in the media today as modern women, is that it's the most painful experience of your life, and what a fucking nightmare. So you better go and schedule a cesarean section instead of working with your body and experiencing the most powerful moment of your life. Like my sister, when I gave birth to my first child, she was like, this is your biggest accomplishment. And for me, this was almost an insult. And only 3 months after, when my hormones settled and my system came to, I was like, shit, this is my biggest accomplishment. Because it's not my work. It's not my job. It's not my business. But it's me in my own body being able to create a freaking human, which I'm creating right now, and being able, my body, I don't even need to do anything. I just need to kind of, you know, breathe and work with it. And although my first birth was not an ideal birth, I birthed my daughter naturally. And it was, you know, I had morphine, things like this, because I was induced. But still, to this day, this is the most powerful experience of my life. And when I nursed my baby with like milk from my own breasts, I still kind of get over this fact that I was like, wow, you know? And there's so much power, and I have completely transformed. My life has become so much richer since I became a mother. And for me, there's nothing more important than being with my baby, seeing a human develop. Anyways, I won't go into that. But no, men do not have it better than women. If we only look at what we see outside and what we see at the top positions making the most amount of money, and again, I'm telling you that statistically speaking, those men are fathers and they're doing that for their families, then no. And when we look at what women get, it depends, again, it all depends on the context and how you talk about this. For me, the most beautiful experience about being a woman is being in a female body, being connected to my femininity and feminine essence, when I love the beauty that I could surround myself with. I love the choices that I have, you know, for makeup and fashion and the sensuality that I hold in my body and my breasts and my ass and my vagina. And I'm still developing that relationship and my orgasmic nature as a woman and the fact that I can give birth and create life and my creativity and my sensuality and my emotions. And so anyways, like, I don't know. Men don't experience that. So who's got it better? I'm not sure, you know? So, and then let's talk about, I guess we'll finish with talking about sex. Because Jane asked in her questions, you know, do men have insecurities? It feels like men always leave. There's so much to unpack, Jane, in your question, but I'll try to keep it short. All right, hang on. Okay, so let's talk about sex, and do men have it better than women in sex? So again, this is such a loaded question. I try to keep it short answering your question, Jane, bit by bit. But of course, I can't address it all. I would love to address it all. I mean, I guess there's like 10 episodes here, right? So these are some of the starting points for you to just explore, right? So in terms of sex, sex in general has, I mean, you know, I'm not a sexuality expert, but from what I know, if we really look at, because you say, you know, they get to penetrate me and they get to do this and they get to do this. What about if we change that narrative into, I get to be entered and I get to be penetrated and I get to accept or reject and I choose. So Jane, in your language, I see a massive issue with boundaries, because it almost like, and I don't want to say the word victim, but it's almost, you speak in the language of, and I hope you understand this is coming from a loving place. In your language, you almost speak like a woman who just gets taken advantage of, which is the notion of a victim pretty much, who, you know, doesn't say no, or doesn't know how to say no, or doesn't, and doesn't know how, or how to hold boundaries. That is your work to be done, right? It is not up to the man to know what is your no and what is your yes, unless you give him very, very direct signals, right? Because a lot of the times in sexuality, or when a man is dealing with a woman, he's basically looking at what is acceptable here and what is not. For one woman, penetration right away in 5 minutes, go, go, bang, bang, is okay. For another woman, it's not. So if for you it's not, and in your language, I can clearly see that there is a lack of boundaries here. If you feel like a man can penetrate you and take advantage of you, and all of this is weak. So you see how this is all weaved into a belief system about you as a woman having weakness, and they get to dominate, they get to penetrate, they live better lives, so on and so forth. This is a belief system that really needs to change and be reframed and transformed if you want to be an equal partner. I actually done... Has this been a podcast episode? I can't even remember. But on my Instagram account, let me just find it right now for you. I talk about this based on one of my clients' questions about sex and how, you know, so many women, so many issues, sexuality issues with women come from them not being able to know themselves, know their bodies, and setting up boundaries. Remember, and this is kind of the contradiction here, because you know who has the power in the bedroom? The woman has the power in the bedroom, because sexuality and seduction are actually the woman's, a woman's top, I guess, qualities, and they could be considered toxic femininity if they're taken to the extreme. You know, wear, I always say, wear high heels and a short red revealing dress. Walk across the street and watch patriarchy crumble at your feet. Men cannot hold their dicks in their pants when it comes to very attractive sexual women. So that is the power that we hold as women, especially in the bedroom. So again, we talk about the belief system where you think that men have the power in the bedroom. That's not true, right? If you want to give massive blowjobs and everything, you have that power. Like, I'm sure as a woman, you know this. You know how weak and how vulnerable are men with a woman who can screw with their head. Men are afraid of women who know their power in the bedroom. So you've got a lot of power and you don't even know it. That's why there's all this thing today about sexuality is your power and everything. So let me just find that episode. I know I didn't embark. Here you go. So if you go to my Instagram account, there's a video called Let's Talk About Sex, Baby, Feminine Power in the Bedroom. I address that same issue. Now, of course, men have insecurities. Of course, men have insecurities, you know. It's just that in their nature, so it's nature and nurture, in the sense that, you know, there's this whole idea that men do not cry, men are not weak, right? And so I understand when you're saying, you know, men get to enter you, ejaculate, and then go forward, right? Like ejaculate, go forward again, which stems from evolutionary biology and psychology. By design, men are programmed to impregnate as many women as possible and move on. That's why they do not have attachment, much attachment during sex, right? We always say, well, David Data says that men get intimacy through sex and women get sex through intimacy. Sex is very different for men and women. I mentioned this in that webinar. So, you know, it's really interesting. It depends, again, how we look at this. You see, there's so many gray areas here. How I look at this is, you know, men, like, first of all, I talk in a lot of my episodes, like, imagine having a dick. I mean, obviously, imagine having a penis that gets hard uncontrollably as soon as, you know, he has a thought about sex or whatever, or if a hot woman passes by, a thought shoots his head and then he gets an erection. A lot of men are possessed and consumed by this. And this is actually, I don't want to be in that place, because when I get horny or whatever, which doesn't happen as often as men, nobody can see it. It's called conceived, not conceived, well, we do have conceived ovulation, but You know, so from that sense, men's lives are a lot of the times dictated by their penis. And so in their reality, they have to overcome that. Like, how the fuck do I live with that? The fact that I'm an animal and there's a penis that gets hard at every single woman who passes by who has amazing boobs because it's nature. Like, how do I work with that and actually stay grounded, know that I'm not an animal, stop and so on and so forth, right? So, and men have a lot of insecurities in the bedroom, like, can I perform? Can I not perform? I talk a lot about these subjects on the podcast as well, so I encourage you to listen to that, right? Like, how do I, all these, like, talk to men about their sexual experiences. They're going to tell you, of course, you know, a man has to be open. They're going to tell you a lot of stories. Listen to, the most important thing that you can do right now, and that's what I, when I work with women, we talk about this, is explore the masculine journey. It's easy for us to say here and say they're dominant, they're more successful, they live better lives, sex for them is better, but it's not. Because there's a lot of insecurities. Penis size, for one. Can I pleasure my woman? Did I perform? If I don't ejaculate, you know, it's that desire to ejaculate. It's a constant desire on their mind. It has to, it's constant. Imagine being driven by that desire. Women don't have that. We as women, we can experience multiple orgasms at the same time. And a woman's vagina is a wonderland. So again, in your belief system, that has to change by exploring your body and by exploring your belief system about sexuality. All right, so we're coming to an end of this. It's been bloody an hour. Well, in the video, 20 minutes, but on the podcast, it's an hour episode. My husband always looks at this episode length and he's like, how can you talk that much? He's like, it would take me 3 months to come up with something like this. I'm like, yeah, talking is my forte. So, yeah, the words misogyny, patriarchy, I really recommend, Jane, that you reframe those and work with them. And again, to summarize, she says, as a feminist, I feel like I can't enjoy on the roles of a typically submissive woman. Yeah, and you shouldn't have to, Jane, because it's not about being a submissive woman. It's about playing in your power as a feminine essence woman and really reframing your belief system about that. So your work, if you choose to do it on your own, I mean, the quickest way to actually do this is to work with us. And so if you're a woman like Jane and want to change your belief system, start attracting. And by the way, as I said before, Jane, and I'm pretty sure you are currently attracting men that you either don't find attractive, they're feminine men, or men who are emotionally unavailable. And in my webinar, I talk about the concept of mirrors. If you have that belief system within you, that men have it better and I have it less, that femininity is weakness, I have to be submissive, so on and so forth, misogyny, patriarchy, of course you're going to be attracting men like that. So in the work that we do with women, we reframe that belief system so that you get into your body, get into your actual power, know how to set boundaries. So from that place, you could attract an equal to you, right, in your power, who is a masculine man, who you can surrender, let go of control with, and you can still be a feminist. Like, if you ask, feminism in general is such a weird word today. But if you ask me, of course, I'm a feminist. Like, there's a difference between equity feminism, and I think the second one is gender feminism. And gender feminism is one that really kind of puts men and women who's got it better or whatever and is driven by these political agendas. I'm an equity feminist, which means that I believe in the equality for all, whether you're a man or a woman. But I respect the differences in the genders, and we choose to play roles, right? So the fastest way is to work with us. So if you're interested, I encourage you to book a discovery call to see if this is a good fit, whether we can work together. And we have a 10-week group coaching program that's going to help you reframe and reverse, and you can have so much, save yourself so much time and so much agony and anxiety around that. Or you can do this on your own, right? But it's going to take you a lot longer. Something that I did on my own. But again, right, it's just a matter of time. Do you have the time? Are you willing to do it all by yourself? Or do you want to work with a coach, with a guide who can answer your questions and really help you along the journey so you can start attracting different types of men? So if you're interested in that, go to girlskill.com/apply and apply for your discovery call and book a call with us. it's either going to be me or with my amazing enrollment director who's doing most of the calls now. But if you want to do it on your own, again, I recommended working with your belief systems mostly here, right? And using feminine embodiment. And how you do that is I've written a lot of articles and posted a lot of episodes on how to trust men. Again, if you go to my Medium account, you can read. So I think if you go to anarova.medium.com, you'll find a lot of articles about how to reframe your trust in men. On the podcast, there's a lot of, episodes as well. So basically, that's it. I hope this was helpful to everyone. If it was, please a review and rating on the podcast. And again, message me on Instagram and let me know. And if you have any additional questions, PM me on Instagram and PM, DM. And let me know. And by subscribing to the webinar, by the way, also subscribing to my email list to make sure that let's not let the platforms who are controlled and manipulated a lot of the times by different agendas stand in our way. So you can get on my email list by signing up on the webinar or listen to this podcast. And I think if you still DM me on Instagram, it's going to be fine. All right, much love to you all, and I'll see you next time. All right, girlfriends, hope you enjoyed listening or watching to this episode. And if you did, and if you resonate with most of the things I'm saying, and you want to learn more, and you want to finally start attracting masculine men, I have an invitation for you. So, as you know, I am committed and passionate about helping successful women attract and keep committed masculine men. So I have a personal invitation for you. If you're resonating with everything and you're ready to step up and invest in yourself and take things to the next level, I would love, love, love to talk to you and see if you would be a fit for my work and what I do. And so basically what I'm doing is I'm inviting you, and it's a personal invitation only if you resonate, because I don't work with everyone and I'm not here to just, you know, make a quick buck and whatever. I'm here committed to your result, and I will make sure that we go until the end and that we get you the result that you want, which is start attracting better men. So I invite you to sign up to actually apply for a free discovery call with me. It's a call that is 1 hour long. And what we do is we talk about your current situation, where you are today, and what's wrong, quote unquote, wrong with your dynamics with men, what you don't like. And then we're going to talk about what you really want and where you want to get. And at the end, if I find that that's a good fit, I'll tell you what I do and I'll offer you to join us and how we could work together. So just to give you a bit of context, this experience is all about, and what I'm going to offer to only if I find that that's a good fit, is about, number one, putting yourself in the best position to start attracting committed masculine men, and not through tactics and techniques or tips, tricks, whatever, but just by being you and understanding and appreciating men, thus creating a deeper relationship with yourself as a feminine essence woman and attract better committed masculine men. Number two, it's all about letting go of overworking perfectionism and the need to control by overcoming your limiting beliefs, patterns, and obstacles to rediscover your worth and enoughness, and rebuilding your faith in your own voice and your own decisions, and exploring your boundaries, and so on and so on. Number three, it's all about letting your body lead, stop overthinking, and start trusting your gut and your heart when it comes to making decisions, expanding and embracing your range of emotions, cultivating sense of awareness and pleasure, and feeling more without apologizing for it. And I know if you're here, you understand and you know that the path to your masculine man, who's a conscious, healthy man, is through you. It's through embracing your feminine nature. It's through running with the wolves and embracing your wild feminine side and actually gaining power from it. And a healthy masculine man will only be attracted to that if you get to that place yourself. And last but not least, it's all about becoming deeply connected to yourself as a woman. Understand what true femininity is, exploring deeper levels of intimacy, and finally becoming free, lighter, and open. Embracing basically the feminine side of polarity, because again, this is what your masculine man wants. And It's all about stop living in the masculine energy by pushing, doing, and choosing all the time, and start living in joy, freedom, and your wild nature, where you can surrender, where you can finally let go. Trust me, this is an amazing place to be, and it's easy and joyful, and it feels natural and feels like a woman. So if you resonate, go to girlskill.com/apply, and there's going to be a short survey, step one. Just apply there, and then the next step is to schedule a call with me. It's going to be an hour. We have fun on this call, so I hope to see you there. And my calendar is booked for another, my calendar is open for another week. So go ahead and do that. If you don't see times that are available for you, make sure you email me, because I'll always make time for you to make sure that you get your spot. All right, girlfriend, keep running with wolves, and I'll see you next week. Okay, bye.